Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Hey, Macarena, welcome to episode number 161 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. My name is Lee.
Hey, I'm Keith.
I'm Ray Dog. Roof.
Ray Dog.
That won't be the last time you hear that.
Oh, wait, it was our dog, wasn't it?
No.
Ray Dog it is.
No, that was perfect. I got no problem with that. If this is your first time listening to the show, this is a mini episode. On mini episodes, we drink one beer and get in-depth about a single beer subject. The previous episode and the next episode are our full episodes. On those full episodes, we also talk about homebrewing and running and review two beers on the show. If you do like what you hear, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you grab your podcast. If you do that, write a short review as well, because ratings and reviews are how more people find out about the show. Also, feel free to tell a friend, post about the show on Facebook or Twitter. If you do that, tag us at Brew Drink Run. On today's mini show, our single style is the Double IPA. Tell us what beer we've got, Keith.
We have ourselves a beer collaboration here between Creature Comforts Brewing Company and Modern Times Beer. This beer is called Modern Comforts. It is, in fact, a double IPA. It appears it is brewed with Citra, Mosaic, and Awesome Sauce, according to the can. This is one of the their in-house only beers, I believe. It does not have a barcode on it. It's just kind of one of those stickers, but it's even just a half sticker. I know there's different labeling that breweries are doing these days, so sometimes they have the full wraparound sticker or the shrink sleeve or various different different modes to get their product out there. Well, this has kind of a half sticker and no barcode. And I did pick this up personally from the brewery there in Athens on a fairly recent visit, so I do know it came from there, and by the looks of the can, I doubt this went out to distribution. So,
yeah. All right. There we go. Raymond, what do you think about the can art here? So Creature Comforts and Modern Times, both kind of known for these distinctive can designs. Modern Times was one of the first that I recognized of having this really sleek but also kind of a throwback design with their script and some of the ways they were presenting really clean can designs when they were first coming on the market. And our local Athens brewery there, Creature Comforts, they also have kind of a more of a scripty kind of style, more illustrative. I think of Modern Times as being very bold and graphic. So, how did they combine those on this can, Raymond?
Well, they certainly pulled the bold and graphic into this. It is very simple label. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Incorporates the logos for each of the breweries pretty simply and straightforward. Has a very kind of retro feel that goes along with the Modern Times. I think it's got kind of a 70s look to it, although it's kind of updated with the
that color combo. Whenever you see like
foil.
Brown and gold.
I love brown and golds and whatnot together. I think it's a really good combination. And I think that this, and it does have, obviously have a kind of an orangish red color in there too, which kind of melds right in with that. But I think it's a really, I like that color combination.
And in a glass. We've gone ahead and poured it as well. What do you think it... how would you describe this beauty in a glass, Raymond?
Well, it is a beauty. Pretty straightforward little yellow double IPA, kind of cloudy. I don't know if everybody's was as cloudy as mine. Mine's pretty thick, poured with a nice big thick inch head, and which is faded to about a, I don't know, quarter inch on mine. A little more on you guys. A little less, rather. Good looking beer. Exactly what you'd expect kind of from a double IPA.
Yeah, and double IPAs, I think that color-wise, we're going to talk about the style a little bit, can have some leeway. Some of them can get kind of dark.
The spectrum is very broad. I mean, sometimes they can be really really kind of a light kind of yellow golden straw color, and then they can go all the way up to your, you know, red and amber mahogany color almost. Just depends on what the really it depends on the malts are, then what kind of flavor profile you're going for and what this is going to lean to. And brightness and clarity can change. I know there's a big trend with these insanely kind of hazy, cloudy, you know, juicy looking beers. I tend to prefer a bright beer in general. I think it just they look better, but there are styles where I'm much more, you know, lenient on that. And I think double IPA is one of them, you know, like your Saisons and your Belgian styles and those kinds of things. You're like, all right, if it's a little hazy and cloudy, you're fine. Yeah. Double IPAs are another one because it's just such a big, massive beer. I'm not too worried about that aspect. I think aroma and flavor are just a little bit more important with the style.
For me, the color and the consistency is really reminiscent of like pineapple juice. Like right. You have mm-hmm. like the Chianti yeah, pineapple sure. juice. The aroma on it is delightful. Yes, there are so many wonderful things going on the nose.
Oh yeah. There's just a lot nice bit of kind of, well, just kind of that juicy fruit, which is really, you know, kind of popular right now. Definitely getting, you know, pine in there as well. You can tell it's both the very two telltale Citra and Mosaic have, you know, their fingerprint all over this. It's got that little bit of earthy, little bit of spice, but that fruitiness of Mosaic, and then you're going to have just the bright citrus that you get with Citra. So it's really, really reminiscent of both of those hops.
Pine, pineapple, grapefruit, just really bright and lively. A little bit of almost like a candy sugar on the nose, too. Yep. Just a real rich sweetness on it as well. And I got to say, for me, that aroma really follows through on the taste. Really are closely related.
Indeed. Yeah. They kind of go hand in hand. All that big kind of, there's a malt base there. I mean, I'd say it's somewhere between cracker and biscuit. I think I get a little bit of both. So I got a little bit of sweetness to it. Almost not buttery, but that kind of sugary, biscuity, you know, kind of sweetness that's going on in there. But I think that towards the end, it kind of dries out a little bit and reminds me of more of a cracker taste. But absolutely, you get that, you know, kind of citrusy, kind of juicy flavor. And then the pine and a touch of little kind of earth kind of falls in on the back end, which is classic kind of Mosaic. I think that, again, the two hops that we know are in this, they shine through and they're very obvious.
This beer is great.
Yeah, it's delicious.
it is really delicious.
Really, really good. And I'll need to pull up my spreadsheet or my HADS list and see if I've actually had anything from Modern Times before. I want to say I had a coffee beer from them.
I know I personally have had a couple of beers. Yeah. I know I liked them, right. But I don't remember them.
They don't distribute where we are.
Where we are. I think they were probably extras in a trade or maybe something I picked up if I was doing an online order. And if I ordered 6 bottles, cans, I got free shipping. So I was like, oh, let me toss one of these in there kind of thing.
Don't they distribute to Florida?
Not that I've ever seen. So. If they do, it's limited. Yeah, but I've never seen them down there. Also, you're talking about label designs. All their labels are kind of the same. They have that same very kind of almost retro-y beer can, but with the same script. Mm-hmm. And I think when, and although it makes it easy to notice and know exactly what you're looking at, I think for someone who doesn't drink the beer or see the beer regularly, you forget what it is. Because if a distinct different label, you can go, oh yeah, I remember that. It's that was the double IPA and on the label was this. With their beer, I do tend to kind of not remember off the top of my head what it is I've had because basically anything that I've had looked almost exactly the same, you know? Right. And so it's kind of mm-hmm. hard to remember a little bit, but yes, excellent double IPA. I think, when we're talking about the style and style guidelines, I think that it's like you were saying, even with appearance, I think double IPA is all over the spectrum, depending on the type of hops that you use and the type of malts, just like any beer. So, you know, you're going to have spicier, more malt forward, more hop forward, more bitter forward, you know, there you can't really pinpoint a classic example of a double IPA, in my opinion, because there's so many different ways that you can choose to make a double IPA. I mean, if you really wanted to pick one, I mean, you'd maybe go with Ruination from Stone, kind of the original sort of big monster double IPA with big West Coast, you know, mouth obliterating double IPA. I mean, that kind of started the trend, but the you know, current trend in flavor profile varies from that, so much so that Stone basically, you know, got retired that beer. I mean, they decided we have to change the beer itself and put out a different version of this. So So, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, oh, this is what a double IPA should be. We know it's going to have a lot of hops, certain ABV, you know, a lot of malt backbone to kind of balance. But that's about as much as you need to really make a double IPA.
Well, let's talk about that. For people who are listening to the show who are maybe newer to this, I guess we can go through some of the terms a little bit and just make sure everybody's on the same page. The first part of this is double. Double and imperial are often interchangeable depending on the exact beer that we're talking about. Typically with IPAs, we hear the word double. Some people do use Imperial IPA. You do see it occasionally.
Yeah, there's really no, as far as I know, there's no difference. I think it's just what sounds better in the context of the name of the beer. One might roll off the tongue better than another one, so we kind of use a different turn of phrase in the beer world, just depending on what sounds better. I don't think there's a technical difference between the two.
And then there's the abbreviation part of it. There's something about, you know, having two vowels next to each other, I think, but I'm not sure that DIPA, because it sounds like a Bostonian saying diaper. I'm not sure that's a great idea.
I always saw it as DIPA.
No, it's DIPA. It's the DIPA. And I did see, I guess it was Melvin Brewing. I saw some of their cans recently, and they actually put IIPA.
Yeah, I've seen that a little bit. Yeah, looks a little more awkward than DIPA.
Right. But because you kind of think, is that a Roman numeral two? Is that what's going on with this, depending on how it's written?
That still works, though.
It does. It does still work. And the backbone of this, the IPA part, the India Pale Ale, I mean, what we're looking here is the basics of what Keith already mentioned. We're talking about a malty backbone that's enough to stand up against your aggressive hops. And so it's really...
And enough to give you your ABV. So, you know, that's kind of where a lot of your ABV is going to be coming from, is the extra malt that you're putting in. So,
and as he said, the diversity of this is all over the map. Just as you have very diverse IPA styles, you're going to have very diverse double IPA flavor combinations in that. And so it does pave the way for a really wide swath to be cut. And so I think this week in particular is especially a great one. If you have listeners at home have a favorite double IPA, let us know on Twitter or Facebook. Yeah. We'll kind of show brief tasting notes about each of those and let people see really, you know, how different they can vary from really citrusy and bright and relatively light, as this one is, to some of the really dank, heavy, musty double IPAs that maybe are some of the ones that I was probably first exposed to that are just real beasts of beers.
Five, six, 7 years ago, though, that's what a double IPA was. And as some of these different hop profiles and hop combinations that have become popular have come along, I think that it's for some people it's been a slow transition to learning to appreciate them. But I know I prefer kind of where double IPAs are now. But back in the day when I first started drinking them, I was, you know, the more it tasted like a pine tree, kind of the better. And that's kind of where I was at that point in time. And it'll go somewhere else. And some new hops will be developed that'll have new flavors and new nuances and different things. And it'll sure to take a change somewhere else. And not that these will ever go away, I don't think. People will still enjoy them, but it's a ever kind of fluctuating, changing style.
And I've got to say, the brewery that probably first got me really on board the double IPA train was Green Flash. That brewery, and this was years ago, we still, even on the opposite coast from them, would have three or four different double IPAs from Green Flash available. And they would kind of run the spectrum. But then we were talking about a little bit cloudier, a little bit darker, a little bit danker. But they did start to make those fruitier, lighter ones as well. And so with them, that's a brewery that, because we've had access to them for a long time, I do kind of sleep on once in a while. But, you know, it's times like this that make me remember, they still put out really good stuff. And it's if that's something that you have available to you and you're looking for some double IPAs perhaps to compare, that might be one brewery where, you know, you're going to have a baseline of some different things going on that you could go maybe pick up a couple of different ones and do a side by side and really kind of see how those come across.
We're going back in time. Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this.
The this beer is just really refreshing as we continue to drink
it's
it.
It's frighteningly drinkable is how I would describe it, because it's at 8%. You could pick up a 6-pack of this and and drink 3 or 4 of them before you really start to feel the effects, because, I mean, it goes down real easy. There's not a lot of alcohol heat associated with it. I mean, it's really kind of dangerous.
And there's that little bit of a tartness on the finish, too, mm-hmm. that, you know, from the citrusy kind of notes that make it just the slightest bit, almost like a Berliner or something, where you've got that little tinge of something sour, which makes me just want more.
Right.
It makes me just thirsty for another drink. This is super dangerous. This is the time of the show where we go to Keith's spreadsheet. Keith's spreadsheet is where Keith logs all the beers that he has had, and then I read the reviews and try to stump Raymond. Raymond, are you ready?
Never.
You're talking about Ray Dog, right?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry,
I didn't know if Raymond or Ray Dog.
I looked
Dog
up and there was this complete blank look on Keith's face. He's like, who are you talking about?
You mean Ray Dog over here?
Ray Dog. Yeah. Ray Dog it is. Okie dokie. All right. So this is the description from the spreadsheet, Raymond. I want you to guess the beer and brewery.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to skip over some of the giveaways here and get down to the good stuff. All right. This is right there in my zone. Lots of big citrus and tropical fruit on the nose. The taste matches this quite well with a lot of juicy orange. The hop bitterness lingers for a short time and the malt base is never up front but is doing the job well enough. Personal taste is always a big factor in how this style of beer is perceived. A friend of ours, I will leave this out for now, did not care for this at all when he had it, but one man's outstanding is another man's blech. 4 out of 5 A. Do you have a guess, or should I start filling in the blanks?
This one's so broad.
Yeah, I don't even know what this is.
All right. We will start filling in the blanks. All right. This is a beer that Keith had at the brewery.
Okay.
Okay. He had this at the source. Our mutual friend who did not care for it at all is Andrew.
Okay.
Okay, let's just start narrowing down some geography.
So we're probably in Athens, I'm going to guess.
Some geography for you here, starting to narrow down.
Yeah.
This is a 4 out of 5 A for Keith. The style, you have a guess on the style.
It's a double IPA.
I think it's just a regular IPA, but we're there.
Okay, all right.
All right, so we've got IPA.
Mm-hmm.
We've got super tropical,
got it,
juicy.
Got it.
Okay. What is it, Ray Dog?
So is this Tropicalia?
It is.
All right. Okay.
Creature Comforts Tropicalia. And I wanted to go ahead and maybe we're doing this segment a couple minutes early in the show, because I feel like when we're talking about Creature Comforts, it seems kind of silly not to talk about the beer that everybody associates with Creature Comforts. So I felt like I was dancing around it to the point that I wanted to go ahead and bring it up.
That was actually one of the first things that came to mind, and I just thought it was too obvious, so I didn't bring it up the first time.
If you know anything about the show by now,
I know.
I'm trying to make them obvious. I think we just read, Keith's thoughts about Tropicalia. You've had the chance to have Tropicalia as well, right? And Raymond, what do you remember about Tropicalia last time you had it?
I remember just it was very tropical. I remember lots of fruitiness in there, and it was good. I did like it.
I liked it too. I mean, I think I probably, I went 4 out of 5, 4.5 out of 5 maybe. I think I did more than 4, but at this point we're splitting hairs.
Right.
And it really is just minor preferences or beers you've had in the same style that you just like better and can compare them against.
Well, I mean, in all fairness in those reviews, I don't do point whatever. So if you land in the 4 out of 5 range, it means you're not basically perfect.
Right.
So it could be on the upper end of that, but there was some reason why I thought it didn't quite deserve to be, you know, a 5 out of 5 kind of thing. So, but for me, Tropicalia, I feel like, when it first came out, it was sort of in the new, they were on the beginning cusp of the trend. And I feel like, at this point, so many other, big juicy, beers have come out that it's still a big deal for a lot of people to try it. And I mean, when I was up there in Athens, obviously it was all over the place.
I mean,
it was not hard to cases of it stacked up, you know, in the stores and whatnot. You know, go to the local restaurant and, you know, for $3 you can get a can of it. Athens isn't like, everything's overpriced and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So So, you know, I had it several times, had it, you know, when I visited the brewery, and I was like, yeah, this is every bit as good as I remember. But I think kind of with all of the other beers coming out at this point, you don't really need to go nuts over that beer. As good as it is, you have a local option near you that's just as good. Right. You know what I mean? That trend is now become, you know, that thing has now become more of a trend, not just like this is one of those isolated, juicy tropical beers. They're all over the place, you know? So I think there's a lot of options out there in the world, which is not to say if you can't get your hands on some, you shouldn't get some, because it's good beer.
It is. And I think the Modern Comforts shares some similarities to that beer. I think that the high-end fruitiness is very similar. But with this, it doesn't have that clean finish like I associated with Tropicalia. With the really, it kind of was all high note. And with this, there is this mustiness that the yeast does seem to play more of a factor in this beer.
Well, I mean, the malt bill being so much bigger, higher. I mean, you just kind of have that kind of chewier, sweet kind of thing going on as opposed to this drier, you know, brighter citrus. So,
but I do feel like you can tell, like, there's something about the two. They do seem kind of sisterish in a way for me. But
yeah,
maybe
sure.
It's just,
I mean, when you start talking about Citra hops, I mean, when you start using those, and anything is going to have a similar type quality to it. And, you know, and they know what works, and they know what sells. I mean, this was by far the best beer I had at the brewery when I was there. There were several, you know, real tasty beers, and, you know, I was also enjoying some of the regular offerings that I kind of didn't really get a chance to try. And but I mean, this one was the far and away the standout, you know, of what was available at the time. There's also a double IPA called Cosmic Debris that people are going nuts for right now.
And that's Galaxy Hops, right? Okay. That's where
the name, probably right. But in any case, you know, so they're very, very lucky to have, you know, kind of created this name for themselves where it just, you know, everything they touch kind of turns to gold right now. So good on them. They're doing really well. I mean, that place was packed when I was there. I mean, Friday night I was there, and it happened to be St. Patrick's Day. I mean, the place was bonkers, and it was all college kids, you know, so I was feeling kind of uncomfortable and out of place just sort of there by myself drinking beer, you know, with all these super really, really young people. Went back and met Andrew there on a Saturday the next day, and my wife was able to come that time. And the crowd was much more diverse and a little bit more of what I'm used to in a brewery. But I mean, they're just absolutely killing it. I mean, the place was, I mean, the amount of people going through there on just the 2 days I was there was insane. Yeah. So.
And the Modern Times beer you have in your spreadsheet is Black House, which is an oatmeal stout with coffee.
All right.
And you like that. That was another four out of five.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
You know, I think that you had some really nice tasting notes on that. So I guess if that's still in the rotation, you would recommend people to go and check that out if Modern Times is something they can pick up. Yeah. But again, everything I've heard great things.
I would, you know, I haven't been in a place to find their beer to pick up, you know, so, you know, whenever I travel, I try and pick up things. I think if I saw anything from them, I'd give it a shot.
Do you guys have final thoughts on double IPA? Raymond or Ray Dog, is there a double IPA that you can think of off the top of your head? They're like, oh, people should go check that one out.
No.
No.
Okay. No. But I will say that I tend to actually like double IPAs a lot better than just regular IPAs.
Yeah.
I like the maltiness that comes along with them, and it's... they're just they're not overkilled, and you know the hops sometimes kills it for me, and these, it's double IPA is a lot more even.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned a couple already. I mentioned the Green Flash and the Green Flash series, so I think there's enough to go out and everything that Stone puts out.
Yeah, there is just a world of double IPA. Every brewery pretty much has one, and most of them are year round, if not on a rotating basis. So if you've never had one, I think that you can start with the double IPA. You say you might want to start with India Pale Ale if you've never had one for some reason, but that's not necessarily true. I think that double IPAs are maybe slightly more approachable than a lot of your you know, lower gravity IPAs,
especially because the IPAs keep pushing more and more extreme, you know, like you know ultra hoppy, or you know, and it's and it can be a bit of a palate killer with some of these beers that are stronger. You know, for me, like I would say Dogfish Head 90 Million, you know, that's kind of especially the darker, maltier,
right? I mean, if we're talking
robust,
Talking classic. Totally year round, like, yeah, you, like easy to pick nothing up. Nothing hard to find. Yeah, 90 minute is a great. It is a very unique beer, I think, in the double IPA frame.
I think so too.
For scheme of things, but it's really one of those that is easy to enjoy and is a nice jumping off point. So,
and that might be not a nice 60 minute, 90 minute side by side too, sure. Just to mm-hmm. go ahead and kind of again see how one brewery right. approaches yeah. the style. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at Brew Drink Run. All of our writers are also on Untappd. If you want to be a part of the show, email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running training, or your favorite place to grab a beer. You can also call us 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465, or send us an email with an audio message from your phone. Either of those work great. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts and technical running shirts available at our website. Just click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at Ray Dog's house. Cheers.
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 Solid.
It works.
Thanks for picking this up and for sharing.
Yeah, no. Trust me, there wasn't a whole, you know, you, like we have down here, you can pick up beers, you know, in the tours, and it wasn't exactly a cheap beer, you know, being a collaboration double IPA, but it was kind of worth every penny. I've been enjoying it.
Super good.